You're listening to Stateside. I'm April Baer. Some small businesses may not experience very much disruption this year. Pretty much anyone whose sales do not rely on brick-and-mortar retail. It's a fabulous time to be in the hand sanitizer business. For other business owners, the closures related to COVID-19 may be a death sentence. But for some businesses, there might be a way through this if they can figure out how to deliver the goods. Mike Gustafson owns Literati Bookstore in Ann Arbor with his wife Hillary. The store usually sells only in person, but is now facing an overwhelming demand for online sales. Mike Gustafson, welcome to Stateside. How are you adjusting?
We have not scaled back our staff necessarily as far as payroll is concerned. We're committed to paying our staff through the end of March. If they have made the decision to come in and work or not, after March, I just don't know what's going to happen. Like thousands of other small businesses, if there's no income flow, we anticipate having to make tough decisions. This past weekend, you know, we sort of put the word out there what we were doing. We closed on Friday around noon, and we typically get 5 to 10 web orders, orders through our online website, literatibookstore.com, and we've gotten over 700. So we are frantically trying to fulfill those before any kind of mandatory quarantine hits.
Mike, you posted on the website you've been inundated with people asking you to send them books. Can you tell us what happened?
So on Friday, we had a little bit of whiplash, as so many other small businesses did, because we quickly made the decision to close down our shop at about noon, and our manager just walked around the bookstore and said that we were going to close doors. There wasn't anything that happened. Nobody had tested positive for coronavirus. We just thought that it was in the interest of public safety, especially since we're such a congregation site in downtown Ann Arbor, and the library was closing and schools were closing. We were really worried that people were going to start to congregate at the bookstore and put our staff and other customers at risk. So we immediately closed down, shut the doors, and posted online that we were going to take web orders. For any independent brick and mortar store, the internet is sort of this final frontier. We, quote unquote, compete against other online industries that can fulfill web orders, including Amazon.
I was going to say, including a small company people might have heard of called Amazon.com.
Yeah, we all live in Jeff Bezos land. So we're competing against Jeff Bezos and his small business. We put it out there and we typically get 5 to 10 online orders a day. And we have had over 700 and they continue to roll in, which it almost feels like a scene out of an old-timey movie.
Wow.
Where people around not just Ann Arbor, but around the entire country are putting their money where their mouths are and saying, we don't want you to close. I think a lot of people are really starting to understand the serious and potentially perilous situation that small businesses like mine, who have under 50 employees, are faced with in the not just the coming weeks, but the coming months. So this kind of support definitely gives us a boost. It has given us a morale booster. Our staff feels supported by the community, but at the same time, we're staring not just being closed throughout March, but potentially much longer. So we also understand the long road ahead.
Mike, has the bookstore started to look any different? I mean, are you just drowning in packing materials now?
Yeah, if you peeked in through our windows, we've basically turned into a fulfillment center. We have boxes scattered around the bookstore sales. We have an office space next door. At the same time, we're following all health protocols. So people are keeping their distance and we're setting up workstations. It's not like we've got all 30 employees packed into the bookstore working in different areas. Everybody's keeping clear distances of each other, but it doesn't necessarily look like a clean and tidy independent bookshop anymore. There's packing materials and boxes and labels, and we're all trying to adjust as quickly as possible. And again, we had maybe one or two people on staff that were doing web orders. So in addition to trying to fulfill all these web orders, we're training our employees to fulfill web orders and reach out to people. And it's a good problem to have. It still is a challenge, but it's a good challenge right now.
Are the shipping costs going to kill you?
We switched from charging people full rate for media mail, which is usually $3 or $4, depending on where we're shipping. Now we offer $1 shipping flat rate, and we eat those costs. We have noticed as soon as we advertised that we were switching to $1, our online orders increased substantially. So margins were already tight, as they are for any independent business, but especially for an independent bookstore. But the increase of orders will hopefully balance that out.
Are you able to pay your staff right now?
Yes, we are paying all coffee shop and bookstore part-time and full-time staff through the end of March. Hillary and I have dedicated and set aside some personal savings to pay this payroll just to give everybody on staff a fighting chance. And after March, I'm just not sure. We reached out to staff saying there are more questions than answers right now. We're hopeful that because so many of us are in the same position that there could be some creative solutions nationwide about this challenge. But we're just trying to do everything possible to give our employees just a fighting chance at the next coming weeks and months.
Mike, this was supposed to be a relatively light year for the publishing industry in terms of new titles coming out. It's an election year, and that means books tend to get a bit less attention. Do you worry about what's going on in publishing as a result of all this, sort of at the earlier stages of your supply chain?
I think there are definitely some supply chain concerns, especially amongst kids' books. Children's books have been printed in China, and they're switching to different countries like Malaysia. We've checked in with some of our children's books authors, and they say it's sort of the Wild West out there right now. And depending on what happens, inventory could be a considerable concern as far as printing and getting books. There's so many unknowns at the moment, it's hard to predict what's going to happen. And both the beauty and curse of what we do as a small independent shop is we may need to transition what we offer. And we've been brainstorming like crazy. There will be still an interest in entertainment and exchange of ideas. And so if we can no longer offer physical books because of some kind of supply chain hiccup, what could we do? Ideas that we've thrown around are digital book clubs, online writing courses. We have a full staff of people who have MFA degrees, different kinds of education services, because we're all going to be sitting at home. And at the same time, that could be working to our advantage if we can figure out a way to reach people in a meaningful way. There are an abundance of different challenges ahead, but we're really racking our brains on how we can shift as quickly as we can.
You know, it's funny. I feel like I have crept back so far into my comfort zone, picking up the literary equivalent of comfort food. I started reading a 20-year-old title by Colson Whitehead. Do you have recommendations for home reading for people who are maybe housebound right now and just looking for something new, something different?
Oh, absolutely. It's funny that you mentioned that, because a lot of the dystopian novels are sold out right now, which is interesting that people want to deep dive into a dystopian, you know, apocalyptic settings. And I'm sort of the other way. I'd like a little bit of escapism. And I'm looking for, now that I've got some separation from work, I'm working from home. I would recommend for anybody out there just wanting to feel some calmness, there are two of my favorite books. One is Gilead by Marilynne Robinson, which is a beautiful novel about a pastor who is writing to his very young son at sort of towards the end of his life. Marilynne Robinson writes in a way that has these chewy literary sentences, and it's very slow and meditative, which I think is what a lot of people would appreciate right now. And then my other favorite book I would recommend is a very old book. It's by Aldo Leopold, and it's called A Sand County Almanac, and it's my personal favorite book of all time. Sand County Almanac is about a man who sort of, it's a nonfiction book, a series of essays, and he walks around in his backyard in Wisconsin, and he observes what's happening in his backyard and writes about it in such a beautiful way. I remember reading that book when I was in my 20s, just after college, and I was feeling very jealous because a lot of my friends were traveling the world and going overseas and doing backpack trips around Europe, and I was not. I moved to Los Angeles for a job, and I was feeling jealous, and I read that book, and I realized if we all look very, very closely, even in our backyards, we can experience beauty, and we can experience adventure, and we can be more attuned and more aware to what's happening in our surroundings. And I think that's needed very much right now. I think people need to be aware and not just pay attention to one news source, pay attention to many news sources, but also pay attention to their community and much more closely pay attention to our neighbors. I wrote this on Facebook, but let's share our toilet paper with our neighbors. Let's share our resources with our neighbors. Let's reach out to our neighbors. And I love A Sand County Almanac because it showed me at the time how much there is right in front of us if we just look closely.
Mike Gustafson owns Literati Bookstore in Ann Arbor with his wife, Hillary.